It has to be good to know the things that we heard this morning. It has to be good for us at this stage of our life as a congregation. It has to be good for us to have that brought to mind again for our daily lives. Wasn't it so complete? All things, all good, all purposeful. God's eternal purpose. All of these things, to God, for God, and for His believing people. And part of that was the recognition that God is working in all these things. And this psalm also reflects on the sovereignty of God. There are several statements early on, just in those first few verses. Very clear statements. He is God of gods. He is Lord of lords. The God that we speak of in this psalm is sovereign. And then you see it, the evidence is poured out from the remaining verses, verse 4 and following, of His works, of His actions. Verses 4 through to 9, in every second line, are telling us that He is the Creator. And associating that with this very same concept or refrain, His mercy endures forever. Those things speak of His enduring mercy. Verses 4 to 9, Creator. From 10 to 16, it is speaking of Him as the Saviour, the Rescuer, the Deliverer of His people. 17 to 20, tell us of His conquests. He strikes down great kings. From verse 23-25, it tells us of Him as the Carer, the Rescuer, the Helper, the Provider. And in all of these things, as Creator, as Sovereign, as Creator, as Savior, as Conqueror, as Helper, the response is to be, for His mercy endures forever. That goodness that we heard of this morning, the goodness of all that God is working out, that goodness that is ours if we are His, by faith. We're reminded by this psalm that that is out of His mercy. And the psalm, as I've just traced it out very quickly, reminds us of how complete His goodness is, covering every part of the needs of man. And it comes by God's mercy. Nor should it be surprising for us that the psalm opens with the line, "Give thanks to the God, to the Lord, for He is good." Give thanks to the Lord, and the psalm closes, "Give thanks to the God of heaven." It shouldn't be surprising that we should be called to give thanks. Paul, who wrote Romans 8, verse 28, that we saw this morning, he didn't say it there, but he has said it a number of times as he wrote. And it's based on that very reason. He says, in all things with thanksgiving. Respond to that good work of God with thanksgiving. The psalm says, respond to the good work of God, respond to His everlasting mercy by giving thanks. And it's to just to develop this a little further, a few things to say, even just from this opening verse. Some very great truths, vital truth, that we need to grasp here, just in these few words. First, His mercy. The second thing is that mercy is forever. And thirdly, to give thanks. First, to reflect on His mercy. What God does, what God works. Mercy is an action. Mercy is not just a thought or an inclination of the heart. He is acting in mercy. What God is doing towards us, to all creation, as the psalm tells us, to all of mankind, but especially to His people. The psalm traces through. It tells us that He is the God over all. It tells us then that He is the one who has made all things. But it comes down at some point to, as we sang some verses about how God delivered his people through the sea. He is especially attentive to his people. Paul reminded us of that this morning. The works of God are to those who are called according to his purpose. Those who are believers, his own people. But it could be possible for someone to take those kinds of words and say, well, the good that God works out for his people, it's ours by right. The psalm says, no, it's not. The psalm says the good things that God has done for his people and indeed for all of creation is by his mercy. And Paul does say that eventually in Romans. He goes on through what he has begun to say there in Romans 8. And he comes to the place in Romans 12, he says, therefore, by the mercies of God, I plead with you to live a life in response to what we just heard this morning. But it's by the mercies of God. Remember, these things are out of his love. Nothing more. Not because of my love, not because of any good things that I have done, but it is out of his covenant love, his mercy. You've perhaps heard people say, I don't say it very often, but the original word is chesed. It's one that is, you have to translate it with a whole pile of words. It's all around a concept. We don't have an immediate word that translates it, but it is about his covenant. And covenant with God is all about mercy. It tells us here, give thanks to the Lord. And you will see it's in little capital letters. And that's reminding us that the original word is the covenant name, the I Am name that God gave to Israel. He's saying, I belong to you, you belong to me. It's a binding, it's the almost the lamination, sticking us together. And we'll see it in a moment. That's the way it always will be. That's in fact the way it always was. It's that covenant where he binds himself to a people. And it's this love that comes out of it that is the word mercy that is described here. But it all comes from him. That's the point of mercy. It rises from his heart. It rises from his action. Not because of anything in me or you. In the covenants, from the very beginning, it's God who steps forward. It's God who takes the initiative. It's never because I have earned it. The good that God would do to us, it is a great confidence that we heard and reminded of this morning. But the even greater confidence is that it's not about me. It's not because of anything that I am or have been or will be. It all rests on him, the Lord himself. That's what the psalm reminds us of in this repetition, time and again, that we should not forget, for his mercy endures forever. Maybe I should have done it earlier, that we would read the psalm, but the thing is, and it appears to be intended for this, that, for example, I would read, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and you read back, for his mercy endures forever. Or I say, oh God, give thanks to the God of gods. You read back, for his mercy endures forever. It's that responsiveness that we grasp it through, even through simple repetition, but we're reminded that it is of his mercy that these things are accomplished. We were reminded this morning again that when we speak of God's purpose, it is, as Paul says to the Ephesians, it is according to his good pleasure. It's out of his heart. There's an end to it there. That's the fullness of the statement. It's according to his good pleasure. Ephesians 1:9. And it's essential that we're very clear on that. That is what gives us the greater hope, the greater confidence. That we're very clear that every slightest glimmer of hope that we have of receiving God's blessings, of receiving that good work in all things, it's all and only because of His mercy, of His reaching out in covenant love. Now, some might turn around and say, "Well, that's not much to go on." It's actually the very best thing. It's the strongest thing. It's not precarious at all, because His mercy is forever. His mercy is not just a flash where He sees we have a need. It's constant. His mercy is forever. Now, we take the words forever, and we might say, well, that just means it keeps on going. But there's something richer to it than that, I believe. It is that. But it's not just keeps on going from where it starts, or where we think it starts in our lives. It always has been, and it always will be. But it's so much more as well. It reminds us of the constancy, the persistence of God, if you like. We learn of Him in the Catechism that He is unchangeable in His being and so on, but in His goodness as well. His mercy is unbreakable. His mercy is unchangeable. His mercy is invariable. It's a covenant love. He makes a promise and He will do it. There's so much I would like to gather in here, because we've been reading about Balaam, and he was the one who said, God said, and He will do it. He will not veer away from it. And it's not just when He says it and it appears in our human history and life. It is because He has established it from before the foundation of the world. So it is with this mercy. It's an eternal purpose. It has to be. It's nothing to do with whether we merit it or not. Mercy doesn't have anything to do with us deserving God's attention. It's really rather the other way round. It's precisely mercy because we don't deserve it. We are in desperate need of His love and have nothing to earn His love by. It's His eternal purpose. It's outside of us. It's done, we heard this morning. It's not just done in the gift of Christ on the cross, but that in itself was the acting out, the working out of that eternal purpose of God's mercy. God's love, His mercy, is forever. It always was. Before the world was brought into being, He had every, we would say, He intended to give you His love. It always will be, long after this world is changed. There's perhaps a perception sometimes that when we get a new heaven and a new earth, and we're God's people are taken to be with Him where He is, that a lot of things will change in the relationship. This will never change. This mercy of God is still always eternally going to be the foundation of our relationship with Him. His mercy is completely without qualification, without limitation. His mercy is forever. It always will be. And it always is. And that means, too, that it is the same always. It's not variable. It doesn't change in, you might say, quantity. It's never less, never more. It's the fullness of His heart to you, if you are His. And He can't be divided. It is fullness, the fullness of His heart. His covenant love. God is love. You might say there's a sense in which grace, as God gives it to us, is matched to our need, where there's a number of passages which would seem to suggest something like that, that he will give us grace to help in time of need, from Hebrews. It is grace sufficient, grace upon grace, that grace for enabling for one thing is not suitable for another, and where life moves on, we need grace upon grace, we're told in the Gospel of John. But mercy is the very foundation of our hope. It's what God does in reaching out to us and working in us and working for us, all comes from His mercy, His covenant love. And it's constant. He is without even the trace of change, James says. He says there's not even a shadow of turning in Him. And therefore, nor is there any change in the love of His heart. It doesn't grow dim towards His people. It's out of His everlasting mercy that creation came to be. It's out of that that the Lord rescues His people from sin. That's pictured by that bondage in Egypt that is remembered in this psalm. We're supposed to realize that in every work of His in creation and towards us, all things working together for good, that we must see it comes out of His unshaking love and mercy. But for this evening, I also need to remark that the psalm is wrapped up in this expression, calling us to give thanks to Him because of this. The first three verses are calling us to give thanks to Him. The last verse calls us to give thanks to Him. And the rest is gathered within that. Our response to all of these things that God does is to be thanksgiving, because these are works of His mercy. There are times when life is rough. There are times when life is difficult. And there is a sense in which we are perhaps facing something like that as a congregation at the moment. But still, the Lord's mercy has not changed and will not ever change. He can't change. Sometimes the difficulties and the trouble is because of our sin. We need His mercy. Sometimes it's because of the sin of others. We need His mercy. I think one of the clearest pictures, and it is specifically said in the Bible regarding mercy, is the story that Jesus told of the Samaritan who helped the beaten traveler. And it was the response of his of the questioner that had approached Jesus. He answered, he said, "It's the one who showed mercy to that wounded traveler. He was the neighbor." It's a reminder that this mercy is simply a response to need. A reaching out in compassion, in help, in love. That traveler was suffered. He wasn't a sinner. He was maybe stupid. Maybe he hadn't taken safety precautions. But he wasn't the sinner. There were others who had sinned against him. He was suffering the consequences of it. But he received mercy. There was no merit in that relationship on his part. It was pure love by which his neighbor, the Samaritan, reached out to him. And it's a picture of the way that God, or what mercy really is, and all the more so in God's case. The Lord knows how we fail. He knows how we bring trouble on ourselves and others so often. But he doesn't go away. The psalm tells us that he's working in creation. He's continued to deliver. He upholds creation. He is a helper. He provides and he cares for the ones in need, because his mercy lasts forever. And it's with all of this that the psalmist is then getting to this point. And this must be our point. The response in everything, every part of life, is for us to recognize, yes, God is working all things together for good, but to recognize that he's working all things together for good simply by his eternal mercy. And if that's the case, which it is, our response is to be thanksgiving. I said earlier, I've mentioned Paul, in all things with thanksgiving. And he says it repeatedly. And most often where he's talking about where we're dealing with difficulties. But amongst other things, in prayer and all that goes with it, giving thanks. And the psalm is saying that. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Give thanks to the God of heaven. What's this? Give thanks. Tell. Make it known. Yes, give thanks in your heart. But it carries with it the full sense of confessing that this is true. Confess him as the God of mercy. Confess that his mercy endures forever. It means that we must be thinking on what he has done, dwelling on it, but exposing it and telling it out. He is good. That's why all he does is good. And therefore, give thanks. Speak of what he has done. There are different things that came through in the Psalms that we've read. And the passage in Luke chapter 8. That man, he was desperate to follow Jesus. And why not? But Jesus says, I have something for you to do, is to go and tell what God has done. That deliverance that he's given, that mercy that he's shown you. Give thanks and tell. He works all things for good to those who love him. We have every reason to be thankful. As Paul said this morning, it doesn't always look like it. And we don't do very well sometimes when it doesn't feel like it. But what God's word is saying to us today is to say, he works all things for good. He's merciful to us in all things, at every time, because that's who he is and that's what he does. And we're not to forget it. Whatever the surface looks like, we have to come with the eyes of faith. It's an education. It's a process. We began the day by singing Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's about self-education from Scripture. It's about recalling the good works of God towards us and reminding our hearts, reminding our minds, reminding our souls, reminding our tongues to tell of his mercy, which does not change. And you can take it further. You can go on and say, well, if in his mercy he has given his son, Paul says that in Romans. He says, well, won't he give us everything we need for salvation? We have every reason to hear what this writer says and to commit ourselves utterly to do it, to give thanks. What else can we do? All that he has done is undeserved. It comes from his independent love. In no way a response to anything that we bring to him, but out of his heart. And so, as we put it, are you in a good place? The best place to be is resting entirely and consciously in these terms, resting on him. And he will show mercy. He will continue to show mercy. That's who he is, the God of mercy. it may be our condition as a congregation and how we're trying to work our way through it, and it's difficult. It may be other things. It may be difficulties that you face in the family. Maybe difficulties you're anticipating when you go back to work or wherever tomorrow. We often say it's life throws up difficulties. There may be the difficulties that you don't anticipate, but perhaps we should, because we take them with us where we go. Or we face a future which, well, it's all unknown to us, truly. We have our plans and our ideas, and we get anxious when those things are disrupted. But in all of these, in our daily lives, in every aspect, we must remember His mercy. Because as the psalm says, it's a reminder, it's a place of confidence, but it's also a call to us to witness to Him. And so whatever we deal with together, whatever you deal with yourself, wherever God has placed you, be sure of this one thing, because you can be sure of it. You must bring it to mind in every way that you have in life. And give thanks for it. Give thanks for this Lord, whose mercy is forever. And therefore, there's no doubt about it, He is the helper to rest on. As always, there's more. But for this evening, let us seek God's blessing. Let this be His word that lingers with us. And the praise be His. Let us pray together.